Look around you today. What do you see? A remnant of every tribe, of every tongue, and of every nation. And you know what? Sometimes we feel that, well, we're only a few. Adonai Yeshua is coming back for but a few. It says in the latter days there shall be what? A great falling away. Why is there going to be a great falling away? This is the reason why. Because people will decide to walk in their own will, in their own ways, their own counsel, and they will not admit that He is truly Lord of their lives. Father, we come before You at this time. We thank You, O God, for Your word. We thank You for Your will. We thank You, O God, that You have called each one of us as individuals out of the nations. But Father, there is no shame in being part of the nations, O God. You established all the nations, and You said it was good. But Father, there's coming a man in the future, a false Messiah, an Antichrist, who shall bring all the people together under a unity of evil. You know this is going to happen. You've spoken it in Your word, and You've given us a warning at the very beginning of time that this is going to come to pass. Father, it's written in Your word, and as we get into Your word today, we will see it be revealed to us. Father, we ask now that You would open up our eyes, send the Ruach HaKodesh, because He's the only one that can truly lead us into truth. In the deep parts of our kishkas, in that we would recognize it's the Word of God that is being spoken to us. Open our eyes that we may see, open up our minds that we may understand. Open up our ears that we may hear Your word today. To Your name be all glory and honor. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. This is Shamesh 19. Shamesh means servant. Yeshua came from the Father to reveal the Father to all mankind that we may know who the true servant of God is. Let us turn now to Genesis. That's Bereshit, Genesis chapter 11. And let us begin. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. The whole earth used the same language, the same words, and it came about as they traveled from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they lived there. Now you may be asking, what is the great significance of this? In the former passage here in chapter 10, we see Noah coming out of the ark with his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And he said, now go out and fill the earth. Multiply both your sons and your daughters and fill the whole earth. But something here has taken place. Something that is not the will of Adonai. Because here is an individual I'm going to introduce to you in just a few moments. Someone that we've read about, and we haven't fully understand the impact that he has laid upon our lives and on the lives of those yet to be born. There are mysteries in the Scripture. Now let us turn to Genesis chapter 10, and beginning at verse 32. Sometimes we have to back up that we can understand what God is saying, verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept. That's right. Let us hear now and see. These were the families of the sons of Noah according to their generations, in their nations. From these nations of the earth were divided up after the flood. You see here, God made the nations from one man, Noah. It's amazing that in a Messianic congregation, you can have kosher ham. The Hamites are here, amen? Amen? From every tribe, from every tongue, from every language. Rabbi's rubbing off on me. Blame him. No, I'm kidding. The Japhethites are here also. Right? And so are the Shemites. These three nations. And out of those three nations came what? The 70 nations of the earth. This is pleasing in Adonai's sight. Why? Because it says in the book of Revelation that from every tribe, from every tongue, and from every nation, he's called a holy remnant who may be been pure and holy, not by war with one another, not through intellect, by receiving Yeshua as the promised Messiah. For we have been all washed by the blood of the Lamb. That's the unity that God desires. He desires us to enjoy the nations that we've come from. But the center of each cultural nation that is holy unto the Lord has to have Yeshua at its center. If it's not, then it's all man-made and man-made traditions. Look at Judaism. Once the Messiah Yeshua revealed himself and walked among his Jewish people, he called a holy remnant from them. Then he allowed what? The temple to be destroyed. So the focus would be on faith, not by works, that men would please God. It was there at the very beginning, and it has not changed. It's when the traditions of men come into being, and the traditions of man-made nations come into being, that things get out of focus. Let us continue here. Here's the person now that the Lord wants to reveal. Genesis chapter 10, verse 8. And Cush fathered Nimrod. There he is, the false Messiah, the Antichrist. The forerunner of Hasatan being manifested in the earth. Let's continue. Who was the first powerful ruler of the earth? Notice that. He was the very first powerful ruler over the earth. But what did Adonai say through Noah and to his three sons? Go out and replenish the earth. There was not to be one ruler over the earth of man. Because God desired many nations. Let's continue here. He was a mightier hunter before Adonai. He was great in slaying wild beasts. Nimrod, his kingdom began with Babylon. His very first thing he established. He desired to establish a government that would have one ruler, himself, over all the men and women of the earth. That was not God's design and plan. Let's continue. Erech, Akkad, Calneh, in the land of Shinar. These were the other cities that he set up. He established. Because you know what? He wanted to leave his mark upon this earth. Some of you may be saying, how do you know this? Well, it's even in the body of Messiah. There are men and women who call and claim their ministry. They put their name on their ministry. And the Lord has showed me this. This is a true sign that this person has not received the full revelation of building the kingdom of Yeshua, HaMashiach, on this earth. Some of you may be offended by this, because we have heroes as men, do we not? Those of you who are part of this body here, and it's amazing, we don't even own this building. Why? Because we're following in the likeness of our father Abraham, who sojourned with God. This earth was not to be his permanent abode. He sought a place, the city of God. He knows that he was just passing through. If you notice the name of this congregation, the seed of Abraham, to which all of you who are of the 70 nations have been grafted in through the faith of your father, Abraham. Let's continue. This is why his will was that they would go and replenish the earth. And how did they rebel? And why did Adonai send a flood? It was because man's rebellion. He wanted to get their attention. He wanted to wipe out all humanity down to 8 people. And God was successful in doing that. Unmerited grace and favor was given to our father Noah. Now the baton was being passed to his 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Would they walk in the wisdom and the counsel? For they had gone through the flood. They had seen God's deliverance. They had seen God's faithfulness. Now the baton is being passed to the latter generations and has been passed on to us. Recognize the theme of Adonai Yeshua, of dealing with man's rebellion. He gives unmerited grace. Judgment comes. And yet there is deliverance for the holy remnant. Man is given another chance to be saved from his rebellion and himself, who is on the path that leads to what? Destruction. What is that? Eternal separation from Adonai, our loving Father, and Adonai, his Son, and Adonai, the Ruach. Let us now focus on that individual here, Nimrod, the mighty hunter. He was the very first Antichrist, the false Messiah. You may be saying, why are you repeating this? Because repetition is a great teacher. We have to focus on this. And what was that city that he established first? Babylon. And what does Babylon mean? Confusion. Confusion from what? Confusion from the word and the will of Adonai. What were some of the precepts that he established? Oppression. And a false religion. We can do it on our own. See, the New Age is not new. Right? There was an actress not too long ago, and she would claim out, and she'd cry out and say, I am God. I am God. I'm being manifested in becoming God. If you look at the Mormon religion, what do they teach? One day, you shall become a God, and you shall have your own planet. There's nothing new under the sun. Let's continue here. Where is Shinar? Let us look now. In Bereshit chapter 11, verse 2. Shinar is a fertile valley that is watered by both the Euphrates and the Tigris River. This is a place chosen by Nimrod to establish his kingdom of rebellion. Here is where he was to build his government, his religion. Babylon, the mother of all harlots. Did you hear that? Every false religion that does not lift up Yeshua and honor Abba our Father comes from Babylon, from the harlots of hell. It was here that he started the oppression and violence and defiance in the very presence of Adonai. See, he knew. His father, his grandfathers, his uncles told him that they were to separate and go and fill the earth to multiply. But he drew them all together. We We had an election here not too long ago. It's amazing in our elections. We see these individuals as our Savior, do we not? A lot of people do that as they cast their votes. They put their hopes in politics. That is part of the provisions of this harlot of Babylon. Through politics, we will take over the earth. We will establish God's kingdom. I've heard many different Christian believers in the 80s went into politics because they thought they could convert people of a different political swing. It did not work. They were going to take dominion over the earth. Did they? No. That's man's system. That's not God's system. Are we to affect and to be involved? Absolutely. Are we to cast our votes? Absolutely. But our heart and our focus is to be on building the kingdom of God. In Bereshit chapter 2, chapter 11, verse 2. They said to one another, "Let us come and make bricks and bake them in fire." So that they had bricks for building and stone clay for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that has its top reaching into heaven, so that we can make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over all the earth." There's the rebellion. And where is Shinar? It's where the Euphrates and the Tigris meet. Modern day Iraq. That's where it is. Have you ever looked at a brick? A brick isn't something natural. It's made of natural things, straw and clay and intense heat. And what were the children of Israel forced to do in Egypt for over 400 years? To make bricks. What, as you study altars that Yaakov, Avraham, and Yitzhak, when they established an altar, also Moshe, they were instructed what? To take stones that had not been taken and shaped in a certain form. But they were to take that and stack one upon the other, and then they were to establish their altar. Here we see a man who is full of himself, who wants to bring all the people together, that they would have one religion that does not believe in the promises of God. And they take what? Things that come from God, but do not bring him glory. Because they say this, "We are make these bricks because we're going to reject the stones that God has created. And we'll form them, we'll shape them, we'll put them in kilns, we'll let them dry by the sun, S-U-N. And we will establish now a tower that we will not be separated. And the whole world and every generation yet to come will know that we have done this." This is an act of rebellion. And when the Antichrist comes, the false Messiah comes, and he tries to gather all the people together under one religion, saying all the religions should come together. Do you see that happening now? The Roman Catholic Church is saying, "Oh, I guess now, Allah, we all believe the same God." That's abomination from hell. There is only one true God. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And he is revealed through whom? Yeshua HaMashiach, his son. If you and I went up onto the mosque, up on the Temple Mount, we went inside there, we would read inside there. They won't let us in. But it says there is only Allah and he has no son. So how can the head of the Roman Catholic Church say that Allah is the same God? That's a lie and that's abomination from hell. And that's the portion, the things that we're walking therein. You'll see many, many other different religions who have been at war with one another will be coming together through tolerance. And everything that is unspeakable in the Word of God, they will practice and say, it's okay. This is coming. We need to be prepared and be ready for this. They these children knew Adonai's will that was taught to them by their grandfather Noach, that Adonai would establish unmerited grace by faith, yet judgment would come, and yet deliverance for his remnant. Now let us turn to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5 speaks of this in the portion. When I was going to Bible college, they said, slow down. There are times when you need to let the others catch up. And sometimes it's okay if you're the last one to turn to the scriptures. They said, never be in a hurry. You're on God's time, not your own. And sometimes we need pauses to reflect what we've heard, to weed out and cast things away that do not line up with the witness that God has given to you in your heart, which is the Ruach HaKodesh. It says that when one speaks, all shall hear and judge. Judge the person? No, judge the word that they proclaimed. Then there is peace and good counsel in God's house. Belteshazzar, the king, gave a great banquet for thousands of his lords. In the presence of thousands, he was drinking wine. While tasting the wine, Belteshazzar ordered that the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had removed from the temple in Jerusalem be brought so that the king and his lords and his wives and his concubines could drink them from them. So they brought the gold vessels which had been removed from the sanctuary of the house of the God in Jerusalem. And then the king and his lords and his wives and his concubines, they drank from them. They drank their wine and praised their gods made of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Suddenly figures of a human hand appeared and began writing on the plaster of the palace wall by the lampstand. Isn't that interesting? By the lampstand. The true light was going to be revealed. When the king saw the palm of the hand that was writing, the king's face took a different look. As frightening thoughts rose up within him, his hip joints gave way and his knees started knocking together. The king cried out to bring in the exorcist. Hear that? It must be a demon. Let's continue. Astrologers and the diviners. The king said to the sages of Babel, whoever can read this inscription and tell me what it means will be dressed in royal purple, wear a gold chain around his neck, and be one of the three men ruling the kingdom. But although all the king's sages came, none could read the inscription or tell the king what it meant. Then King Belteshazzar became terrified and his face turned pale. His lords were thrown into confusion. Where are they? They're in Babylon. So what do you expect? They are walking in confusion. Let's continue. At this point, the queen mother, because of what the king and his lords were saying, entered the banquet hall. Queen mother said, may the king live forever. Don't be scared by your thoughts or let your face be so pale. There is a man in your kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy gods. Notice that, plural. There had been a witness sent to them from the holy remnant of the house of Israel. So there's hope. In the days of your father, he was found to have a light, a discernment, and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods, plural. King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king your father, made him chief of all the magicians, exorcists, astrologers, and diviners. Have you ever been in the workplace and you stick out like a sore thumb? Amen? Just think her accusation. Oh, he's just an exorcist. He's just a magician. He's just one of the diviners. Because he was found to have an extraordinary spirit and knowledge and discernment and the ability to interpret dreams, unlock mysteries, and solve knotty problems. Sounds like he had a relative that we've read about, right? Yosef? Let's continue. He called Daniel, but the king gave him the name Belshazzar. Now have Daniel summoned, and he will tell you what this means. Daniel was brought into the king's presence. The king said to Daniel, "Are you Daniel, one of the exiles from Judah, from whom the king, my father, brought out of Judah? I've heard about you, that the spirit of the gods is in you." Notice this. He didn't have time for him up until now. "I've heard of you." Here had been a great light in his kingdom that had saved the kingdom for his father and also saved his father's life. Let's continue here. "Now the sages and the exorcists were brought into me so that they could read this inscription and tell me what it means. But they couldn't interpret it for me." Notice he had false prophets, false teachers, diviners, exorcists surrounded all about him. But God wanted to spare his life by giving him light that he may see and turn his heart through repentance. God is dealing here now with a man's free will, just as God has dealt with each one of us in our own free will. And we are here because we had submitted our will unto Adonai and received what Yeshua has done for us. Let's continue. "However, I've heard that you can give interpretations and solve knotty problems. Now, if you can read the inscription and tell me what it means, you will be dressed in royal purple and wear a gold chain around your neck and be one of the three men ruling in the kingdom." Let's continue. Daniel answered the king, "Keep your gifts." There's a rebuke. "There's nothing you have, O king, that I desire. Nothing." Let's continue. "And give your rewards to someone else. However, I will read the inscription to the king and tell him what it means. Your Majesty, the Most High God, Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the kingdom, as well as the greatness and glory and majesty. Because of the greatness he gave him, all the peoples and the nations and the language tremble with fear before him. Anyone he wanted to, he put to death. Anyone he wanted to, he kept alive. Anyone he wanted to, he advanced. Anyone he wanted to, he humbled. But when he grew proud and his spirit became hard..." That's how Nimrod became. Let's continue. "He began treating people arrogantly, so that he was deposed from his royal throne and his glory was taken away from him. And he was driven from human society. His heart was made like that of an animal. He lived with wild donkeys." In Scripture, who says that someone will be like a wild donkey? Ishmael. "He was fed with grass like an ox, and his body was drenched with the dew from the sky, until he learned that the Most High God rules in the kingdom, in the human kingdom, Nimrod's kingdom." Let's continue. "And sets up over it whomever he pleases." So if someone got voted in that you do not like, that they fall short in the weighing of the scale of the Scriptures, I couldn't care less about politics. But if that man and woman are not honoring this word, then they're not meeting God's criteria. And God has allowed them to come at office, head of office, for such a time as this, that his glory may be revealed. Just as he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to destroy the temple, to take away all these holy things, that the people whose heart had turned against him, the holy remnant of Israel, would understand that God brings unmerited grace, but he does bring judgment, and he does bring redemption. Let's continue. "But Belteshazzar, you, his son, have not humbled your heart, even though you knew all this. Instead, you have extended yourself against the Lord of heaven by having them bring the vessels from his house. You and your lords and your wives and your concubines, they drank wine from them. How does Daniel know this? He wasn't there. It was through the discernment of the Ruach that he was informed. Then you offered praise to your gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which can't see, hear, or know anything. That's the deception that Hasatan, the devil, has placed in the heart of every religion. That we may be deceived. That you and I, who have been created in the image and likeness of God, would be separated by our own free will. Let's continue. Meanwhile, God, who holds your very breath in his hands, and to whom belongs everything you do, you have not glorified. What is the essence of mankind? To know God, to walk with him, and to glorify him all the days of their lives. Let's continue. This is why he sent the hand to write this inscription. Unmerited grace is being revealed. Let's continue. And the inscription says, Mene, Mene, Tikel, Upharsin. This is what it means, Mene. God has counted up your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tikel, you are weighed on the balance scale and you've come up short. His political self-desires fell short of the glory in the Word of God. Let's continue. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Who are the Medes and the Persians? The Iranians. They exist today. Let's continue. But there is a remnant who is called from the Iraqis and the Iranians and all the Arab people groups throughout the world who are called as a holy remnant unto God. We need to be praying for them. For all those who are names who are to be inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life, from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. Isn't it fascinating? God had an opportunity here at the Tower of Babel where people were speaking one language. And he revealed his truth up to that point. But they rebelled. And here what we have, biblical translators going, they're translating the Bible in all the languages of the known earth. Every dialect, every tongue. And that's one of the fulfillments of Messiah. When all those languages receive the good news, then there will be a time of unmerited grace, a time for their eyes to be opened, and them to receive the light that you and I have received. Pray for those translators. Pray for these nations. For they walk in darkness. We were all walking in darkness. But we have seen a great light. Let's continue. Then Belteshazzar gave an order. They clothed Daniel in a royal purple and put a gold chain around his neck and proclaimed him that he was to be one of the three men ruling in the kingdom. That very night, Belteshazzar, the king of Chasdim, was killed. He did what was politically expedient. There's no record of repentance. Now let us turn to Revelation chapter 18. And this is the portion we'll end with today. After these things, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, and he had a great authority. The earth was lit up by his splendor. And he cried out in a strong voice, "She has fallen. She has fallen. Babel the great, Babylon." You may say, well, where's this coming from? Yes, Yahu, Isaiah 21:9 proclaimed it. She has become a home for demons, A prison for every unclean spirit, a prison of every unclean hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of God's fury caused by her whoring. The mother of harlots, Babylon. Yes, the kings of the earth went whoring with her. And from her unrestrained love of luxury, the world's businessmen have grown rich. Then I heard another voice out of heaven say, people, come out of her. He's calling his holy remnant to come out of her so that you will not share in her sins, that you will not be infected by her plagues, by her sins, our sticky mass piled up to heaven. The Tower of Babel was to be built, and they were to declare, this is what we've done. We rebel against what Adonai said, that we're to separate into other nations and fulfill his will in repopulating the whole earth. Let's continue here. So that you will not be infected with her plagues, render to her as she rendered to others. Pay her back double for what she has done. Use a cup which she has brewed to brew her a double-sized drink. Judgment is in the hands of God, not us. When we see a brother or sister who have not been grafted into the kingdom of God, whose names haven't been written in the Lamb's book of life, we're not to walk in judgment over their lives. But know this, the veil that was placed before our eyes has not been removed from them. That which stopped up our ears has not been unstopped from theirs. The stony heart that they have, we once had and possessed. And God has given us what? A heart of flesh. That we may walk in his mitzvah, in his laws, in his commandments. Give her as much torment and sorrow, as glory and luxury as she gave herself. For in her heart, she says, I sit as a queen. I am not a widow, and I will never see sorrow. That's man, right? Stepping on everyone. Those pyramid schemes. The Pharaoh of Egypt had our people in bondage for over 400 years, making bricks, declaring Nimrod's kingdom, declaring the glory of man, and exalting one individual. Therefore, her plagues will come upon her in a single day, death and sorrow and famine, and she will be burned with fire because Adonai God, her judge, is mighty. The kings of the earth who went whoring with her and shared her luxury will sob and wail over her. When they see the smoke as she burns, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, they will say, oh no, great city, Babylon, the mighty city, in a single hour your judgment has come. The world's businessmen will weep and mourn over her because no one is buying their merchandise anymore. Stocks of gold and silver and gems and pearls and fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, and all rare woods, and all ivory goods, and all kinds of things made of scented wood, brass, iron, and marble, cinnamon, carnium, incense, myrrh, frankincense, I'm named after that, wine, oil, flour, grain, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, and bodies of people's souls. What did Yeshua declare? If you gain the whole world and you lose your own soul, what benefit is it to you? That's what Satan wants to give us. What did he say to Yeshua when he took him upon that high mountain and said, I give you all these kingdoms if you'll simply bow down to me and worship me. Satan offers that to each and every one of us. Temporary glory. The fruits you have lusted for with all your heart have gone. All the luxury and the flashness has been destroyed, never to return. The seller of these things who got rich from her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and mourning and saying, oh no, the great city used to wear fine linen, purple and scarlet. She glittered with gold, precious stones and pearls, such great wealth. In a single hour, she's ruined. God shall repay. God shall judge this world system. that robs and steals. Everything that has been done on this earth will be judged. All the shipmasters, passengers, sailors, and everyone making his living from the sea stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke as she burned. What city was like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads as they wept and mourned, saying, "Oh no, the great city, the abundance of her wealth, made all the ship owners rich. In a single hour she is ruined. Rejoice over her, heaven." Did you hear that? All of heaven is now rejoicing. Why? Because the kingdom of Nimrod, Babylon, the world's rebellion, man's rebellion against Adonai God, his plan and his will, is being judged. So all of heaven, all the holy angels are dancing. All the remnant who have died and gone in the presence of the Lord are rejoicing. Goes on to say, "Rejoice, people of God." Speaking to us who are living on the earth at that day. "The emissaries, the prophets, for in judging her, God has vindicated you." Let's continue. "Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a great millstone and hurled it into the sea, saying, 'With violence like this will the great city Babylon, Babel, be hurled down, never to be found again.'" The kingdom of man, the kingdom of Nimrod, is coming to an end. "The sound of the harpists and the musicians, the flute, the players, the trumpeters, will never again be heard in you. No worker of any trade will ever again be found in you. The sound of the mill will never again be heard in you. The lamp of light, the light of lamp will never again shine in you. The voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride will never be heard in you." Why? Because Yeshua, our bridegroom, is coming back for his bride who has no spot nor wrinkle. Are you ready, bride? Is your lamps, your bodies filled with the ruach, the holy oil of God? "For your businessmen were the most powerful on the earth, and all the nations were deceived by your magic spell." Lies and deception. That's all that Satan has to offer. Lies and deception. If you're walking and living in the will and the word of God, you shall never be deceived. For the one who has been placed in you, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, shall lead you into all truth. That's the promise from God. "In her was found the blood of the prophets and of God's people, indeed of all who have ever been slaughtered on the earth." The Lord says, finish on this. Chapter 19, verse 1. "And after these things I heard what sounded like a roar of a huge crowd in heaven shouting, 'Hallelujah! The victory, the glory, the power of our God. For his judgments are true and just. He has judged the great whore who corrupted the earth with her whoring. He has taken the vengeance on her who has the blood of his servants on her hands.' And a second time they said, 'Hallelujah! Her smoke goes up forever and ever.' And the 24 elders and the four living beings fell down and worshiped God, singing on the throne and saying, 'Amen, Hallelujah.'" Praise be to God. Now this kingdom is going to be established. The false Messiah shall arise. But when it does arise, what are we to do? Get from out of her, that our light will shine even brighter. That our testimony, as Rabbi said, in those latter days they shall know what? That testimony. That we overcome every trial, every tribulation, by the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and by what? Not loving our lives unto ourselves. We're not to fear death. We are more than overcomers for all those who are Messiah Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Now let us arise and receive the blessing.